We are continuing on in a series that we've been in, talking about relationships. We call it Relationship Playbook. And we've been talking, what are some of the principles, some of the practices that we can put into play to help lead towards healthy relationships in our life. And this week, I want to start out talking about what action movies can teach us about healthy relationships. Yes, action movies. I enjoy a really good action movie. If I want to veg out and kind of escape reality for a little bit, that's my movie of choice, action movie. And one of my favorite action movie tropes is the bomb defusing scene, right? Or the disarming the bomb scene. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have your hero there staring at a bomb, all these wires, and the clock is ticking down. The pressure's on, and they have the wire cutters in their hand, and they're sweating, and which wire do I cut? You know, like, because we all know in the movies, you can't just go cutting wires willy-nilly, right? Like, if you cut the wrong wire, boom, could be bad news. Or you cut the wrong wire, and then the clock goes from like 10 minutes to 10 seconds, and then the pressure's really on, you know, like, oh, what do I do? And then the hero always has like their partner on the radio, has the schematics of the bomb, you know, and they're telling them which wire to cut, you know, and they're like, but it's all staticky, so they can't really hear well, you know, and so they're like, cut the red wire. And you're like, what, cut the red wire? No, don't cut the red, you know, like, the pressure's on, what are you doing? And somehow it always works out that like the last second, right, when the clock's at like one, they choose a wire and they cut it and it saves the day, right? I'm sure that's how reality works. That's how the, you know, real professionals disarm bombs, I'm sure. But the whole point of that is that there is a sequence, there's a pattern to cutting the wires, right? You cut the wrong wire in the wrong order and there's some damage and destruction that happens. Well, as we look at relationships, my question is, do you think there's a pattern or a sequence to healthy relationships? Right? Do you think that if God truly created us, and if God designed us for relationship, like Luke was talking about the first week of this series, if that's true, then do you think there's also a design to the relationships that we're to be in? And if there is a design and we don't follow that design, do you think it may open us up to some dysfunction or maybe even damage in our relationships? Today, I want to talk about the pattern of a healthy relationship and some of the sequences and the way that a relationship can develop so that it sets us up for healthy, thriving relationships. The goal of today and really the whole series can be summed up in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation. And the Message translation of the Bible is this poetic paraphrase of some of the original text. But I like some of the phrasing that's used, and I think it brings out some of the nuances that we want to talk about in terms of the relationships. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this. He says, "So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish." Now, when he talks about love here, he's not talking about like the Valentine's Day card type of love. He's not talking about romantic love. He's not talking about the feelings of love. The word for love in the original Greek is this agape love. It's this self-sacrificial love, a self-giving love. It's a love in action where you put others' needs before your own. Right, and you're doing everything you can in your ability to meet those needs and to help them and to give of yourself a way to express your love. That's the kind of love that he's talking about. He says he wants that kind of love to flourish in the lives of the people that he's writing to. He says, he goes on and he says, and that you will not only love much, but love well. Right? Now, it's not just the quantity of your love, but the quality of it too. Not only love much, but love well. Learn to love appropriately. And then he goes on, he says this, you need to use your head to test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life that Jesus would be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. And I like the way some of those things are phrased, right? Use your head to test your feelings. Because if many of us are honest in our relationships, we're just driven by our feelings. We make decisions based upon what we feel. And Paul's saying, in order to love well, in order to love the way that God designed us, we also need to be smart about how we love and use our head to test our feelings so our love is intelligent and sincere. And the whole purpose of our love, he goes on, it comes to those last verses that we read, is it's not just for us, it's so that God can be reflected into the world. And that's part of the reason why we do a series about relationships. We want you to have healthy, thriving relationships, but it's bigger than that. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, the way that we love reflects God into the world. And we want to be wise and we want to love much and love well so that it points people back to Jesus. It brings as many people as we can along in giving God praise. And that's the idea and the purpose behind this. And Paul's words and his instructions here are for everybody. They're for every one of us because the truth is we all have relationships. Right? Maybe relationships with your family members, relationships with your coworkers, relationships with your friends, relationships with your spouse or somebody that you're dating. We all have different types of relationships and God is calling us to use those relationships to love well in those relationships, to the self-sacrificial, self-giving love that points others and reflects God's love into the world. It's for everybody. And I just want to pause here and just acknowledge that I can imagine that in a relationship series, those of you that are single or divorced or widowed, that there can be some tension that develops when we're in a series like this. And it's true that our culture and especially the church kind of lifts up the nuclear family as the ideal, right? If you have a spouse and 2.5 kids and a picket fence, and I can imagine that it's easy then if your life doesn't live up to that or look like that, then maybe you can feel you're just a little bit less than, or there's something not quite right with you. And sometimes the church doesn't do a good job of acknowledging that. And so I just want to say, whatever your relationships look like, you're not less than. You matter. Your relationships are just different. They're not defective. And God has you here for a reason, and we need you in this community because you give a unique perspective and you have unique gifts that are going to contribute to the betterment of this church and our community, that you matter. And so as we go through, and I'm going to be talking about how do we love well, I'm going to be talking about dating relationships, and I'm going to talk a little bit about marriage, but I'm also going to talk about friendships and business partnerships, and I just want to acknowledge from the get-go that there is a way for whatever relationship you have and whatever your relationships look like, God wants us to use those and love well and point people to him. And so today as we talk through that, I want to give us a tool that I think can help us learn to love well and love appropriately and use our head to test our feelings. This is a model called the relationship attachment model. It's just kind of these categories up here. You can see it in your bulletin. But this is a model from a Christian counselor and professor, Dr. John Van Epp. And what he did is, as he went through his practice and working with people, he identified 5 key components to a healthy relationship, that every healthy relationship has these 5 things. But not only these 5 things, but the order in which they progress, the pattern in which these categories progress helps determine a healthy relationship as well. And he looked and he saw that it lined up with godly wisdom. And so I just want to walk through this today as a tool that maybe you can use to help look at your relationships and make decisions to help, you know, how you can love well in those. So let me walk through these. Every healthy relationship starts with getting to know somebody, right? You get to know who they are. It starts with kind of the trivial knowledge of, you know, where are you? What's your name? What do you like to do? You learn about preferences. What do they enjoy? What are their hobbies? And then you get like deeper levels of knowing where you begin to know what kind of person they really are. What is their character? What are they like under pressure, right? And you begin to get to know deeper and deeper and deeper. And this category, this knowing, is what drives the relationship. It's what sets the pace of the relationship, and everything is in sync with the level of which you know them. There's a quote I came across from Timothy Keller. It talks about the relationship between being known and loved. And he says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. Right? Because that love doesn't really matter. Because it's like, well, you don't really know me. So you're not really loving the true me. It's just kind of the superficial love. He says, but to be known and not loved is our greatest fear. Right? That's why so many of us put on a mask and we hide parts of our heart because we're like, if they really knew who I was, then they wouldn't love me. So we have to like manage ourselves and present somebody that we think that other people can love. And we're afraid if they really knew us, they wouldn't love us. But he goes on, he says, but to be fully known and still loved. Well, that's kind of like being loved like God. And that's how God loves us. And as we are to reflect his love into the world, that's kind of the kind of love that we're called to have, to get to know someone fully and then still love them, and their warts and all, you know? And so every relationship starts and progresses with this category of knowing. And then as you get to know somebody, you discover whether or not you can trust them. What kind of person are they? And can you trust them? And kind of begin to grow the more you know. So trust flows out of knowing, right? And there's two reasons not to trust somebody. One, you don't know them, so you don't trust them. Or two, you do know them, and you're like, I know you, and I'm not trusting you, right? But our trust is a reflection of how well we know somebody. And then the greatest test of trust, the greatest test is when you lose the TV remote. You ever notice that? At least in my home, like, you lose a TV remote and suddenly you lose trust in everybody in your home. You're like, where's the remote? You had it last. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Maybe you're sitting on it. I'm not sitting on it. Get up. Right? Like, I'm not taking your word for it. I don't trust you. But this trust flows out of knowing. And then as you determine whether you can trust somebody, then you begin to rely on them, right? You take steps of relying on them the more you know that you can trust them. Right? Relying on somebody is just trust lived out in action, right? You take action, you begin to confide in them. You let them drive your car, or you let them watch your kids, you know? And so these levels of relying on someone then are proportional to the amount of trust you have in them, which is determined by how well you know them. Kind of get the idea of how this sequence works out? And then the next step is, as relationships progress, you begin taking different levels of commitment, right? Say, hey, let's be BFFs. You become business partners. You make the relationship Facebook official, right? Or you have the ultimate commitment, the covenant commitment, lifelong covenant commitment of marriage, saying, hey, we are in this for sickness, for health, till death do us part, right? So levels of commitment based upon your trust and how well you know somebody. And then the last category is the category of touch. And that flows out of all these other categories. And as a relationship progresses, levels of healthy, appropriate touch are part of what bonds a relationship together. Right? Touch is that bonding agent for relationships. Think about newborn babies and how when a mother holds them, you know, when the mother is like that skin-to-skin contact, that's what bonds a relationship between the infant and the mother. And in all of our relationships, it's a bonding agent. So that healthy, appropriate touch, right? Handshakes, hugs, high fives, just kind of being held when you're crying. And then in the covenant of marriage, sexual touch is a bonding agent to in that marriage commitment. But touch flows out of all these other categories. And we understand this, right? We get this, right? Think about anybody watched some of the college basketball games yesterday? You watch that team, and these teams have been playing together for the whole season. They've been training. They've been practicing. They've been playing the games. They know each other. They've learned to trust each other, right? And they rely on each other. As they make the play, they rely that once they get that ball to that person, they're going to do the right thing with it, right? They know that they're committed to the team. And then what happens when they make a basket or do a great play? What happens? They touch. High fives, they hug, they slap each other on the butt, right? But that flows out of the relationship that they've developed over the season. Now imagine yourself at the grocery store and you're trying to decide which butter to buy, and you go to make your selection and some stranger walks by, slaps you on the butt, and they're like, good selection, that's on sale, right? Like, what's that about? Like, I'm pretty sure that's assault. And the reason is because it doesn't flow from a relationship, right? We understand this. We get this idea. So this is how the model works as a relationship develops. And this is whether it's a friendship, a dating relationship, a business partnership, right? It should develop in this pattern, in this sequence. And knowing leads the way, and then everything else kind of follows to that level. So hopefully this is a good tool for you. And so now I want to just take a look and talk through what are some of the ways that we can get out of sync of this pattern, right? Where we can cut the wrong wire at the wrong time and just kind of acknowledge some of those things. And let's start off with dating relationships. And let's be honest, it's so easy in a dating relationship to let this become the driver, right? So easy. I've struggled that in the past in my dating relationships. But here's the problem. When this becomes the focus and the driver of a relationship, then this is what's leading the way, and all of the focus is on the physical act. And that sets you up. You are because touch is supposed to flow out of the relationship. But when this becomes the focus, the vulnerability is that then the relationship kind of devolves into more of a transaction, right? And the other person becomes a tool that you use for your own gratification. And it doesn't become a relationship. It just becomes a commodity, becomes a transaction. And you just use them to get what you want, to feel the way that you feel. It's not self-sacrificial love. It's not putting their needs before your own. It's using them to fulfill your own needs. And that just sucks the life out of a relationship. And it views them in less, it is like dehumanizes the other person. Right? That's why some of the things that Luke talked last week when it comes to lust and some of the struggles with sexual immorality, and when this becomes the driver and you let the seeking the feeling drive the relationship, you're dehumanizing the other person. And that's why God speaks out against it. It's not like some arbitrary moral rule that he creates. It's that God understands that when we operate in those ways, we view the other person less than he views them, less than he created them to be. It's dehumanizing. They become a product that you use. And that's why it's so important to let this flow out of a relationship, right? Particularly sexual touch was meant to flow out of the intimate relationship, the commitment of marriage that flows from that. And a lot of times we use our language, and our language gets kind of squishy when we talk about, you know, like sex and things like that. And we use code words like, let's be intimate. But really, the physical side of a relationship is such a small sliver of what true intimacy is, right? True intimacy flows from really knowing somebody. Knowing them and everything about them and choosing to trust them, opening yourself up to them, becoming vulnerable to them because they're somebody that you can trust, and a lifelong commitment in marriage, that creates the deep intimacy, and then that the physical side flows out of that. And when you get it out of sync, then it opens up for the relationship to become less than a relationship and more of a transaction. And I think that's part of what breaks God's heart. And so we want to be intentional about that. Another thing that can get out of sync in our relationships is we can begin to rely on people before we really know them or know if we can trust them. This happens, again, in dating relationships where maybe you haven't been dating all that long and you say, hey, well, let's move in together and see how things work out. And again, you're making a decision to become dependent upon another person before you really even know who they are and know if you can trust them. This plays out in business partnerships too. I've seen business partnerships where a great business opportunity comes by and you don't want to pass it up. But doing that means that you kind of go in partnership with somebody that you don't really know, but you're like, man, this opportunity is worth it. And you take that risk and you begin to rely on somebody, but then you find out, wait a minute, they're not who I thought they were, and things get complicated, right? Friendships can have this happen too. Ever been in a friendship where somebody depends on you and it's kind of one of those imbalanced friendships where it's more take than give? Hey, I need another ride. Hey, I need to borrow some money again. Hey, I need this, I need that. And it's kind of this codependent friendship where they rely on you, and it's this imbalance. Right, so you see how things can kind of get out of whack here. Another one that I see happen a lot today is that we begin to trust somebody before we know them. I see this all the time on social media. Right? You have YouTube personalities, you have TikTok personalities, these people that you follow and you listen to their opinions, and you let all the things that they say, you let that shape your worldview. You let that shape what you think about faith. You let that shape what you think about politics. And you just follow them and let all these things that they say shape you and who you are. But you have no idea who they are. You've never met them before. You don't know anything about them other than the persona that they put out on social media. And then you have people that love you and know you that you don't even give any credit to. But you let this person that you've never met shape your opinion and your perspective and your worldview on all of those things. And it can create some problems. You see how that goes? Now, when it comes to being married, those of us that are in married relationships, the goal is just to crank all of these up, right? Think of it like you're at a rock concert and you just want to crank the volume up, right? That's the goal, to get these as high as you can so that you know your spouse, you know everything about them, and you know that you can trust them and rely on them, commit them, and then out of that flows touch. And so you want to just crank that up. Well, let's be honest, what happens when you get married? You just kind of start living life, don't you? You work overtime. Maybe you and your spouse work different shifts. You get busy raising kids. And over time, what happens? You spend less time together and less time together. And you grow, but you grow in different ways. And then when this drops, typically this begins to drop. And if you're not careful and intentional with your marriage, then over time you can just kind of become more like roommates than an intimate, committed marriage. And if you don't take care of things, then pretty soon then this is the thing that begins to drop. And then that opens a marriage up for all kinds of problems. When you lose trust in your spouse, you don't feel valued, and you begin to seek that in other places, and then it just creates all this chaos. So in our marriages, we want to be intentional and kind of use this as a diagnostic tool to say, all right, where are we? And which of these areas do we need to focus on in this season to bring up, to help our marriage be as strong as possible? All right, so that's the goal. That's a way that you can use this tool as a framework to evaluate your relationships. So if you're developing a relationship in some ways, then this leads the way. Knowing always leads the way. And if anything gets higher than knowing, then you have some problems. If you're in a marriage relationship, you're going to try to keep these up as high as you can and use this as a diagnostic tool to kind of say, all right, where are we and what do we need to focus on? But all this it's just a tool to help you evaluate your relationships and maybe a way to do what we read about in Philippians there, to truly love well, to use our head to test our feelings so that our love is sincere and intelligent. And then the last thing that I want us to realize then is I want to shift from horizontal relationships to our vertical relationship. And our relationship with Christ develops in the exact same pattern and same way. Right? Every relationship with Jesus starts with beginning to know him, to learn about him. Right, you're discovering who Jesus is. You're discovering God's word. You're discovering the church, the body of Christ. You're beginning to take step after step, learning more and more about who Jesus is. And then that information brings you to a decision point. What are you going to do with what you've learned about of who Jesus is? Are you going to take the step of saying, you know what, I think I can trust him. I think I can trust that Jesus is who he said he is. And you make a decision to place your faith and your trust in Christ. And then that changes then how you live your life. And you begin to take steps of relying on Jesus as you live out your life in faith. Right? You take steps out of your comfort zone. Like, wait, this doesn't make sense to me, but I think this is the right thing to do as I follow Jesus. Right? You take those steps. It's the old adage that God won't give you more than you can handle. That's not true. God does give us more than we can handle. Why does he do that? Because it forces us to rely on him. It forces us to be dependent upon him. And that's part of a healthy relationship as we follow Jesus, to rely on him, to be dependent on him, to be taking steps as we follow him in obedience and in faith. And then as your relationship with Christ goes, you increase your levels of commitment. Or as you pledge allegiance to Jesus and you begin to change how you live your life and you begin to take step after step in a way that reflects him and reflects him to the world, you make those decisions. And then out of that, then is touch. And as you live a life following Jesus, you begin to understand that you have God's presence inside of you. You begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life, things like love and joy and peace and patience and on. And then you begin to experience the tangible touch of God through his church, through the body of Christ. And you understand how relationships with other Christians is a way that God works in our life to encourage us and to spur us on. And you take step after step after step in your relationship with Jesus, and that's how it works as well. And so I wanted to end with a little bit of a vertical focus today, because this is a truth that I think is just core to this whole series. The single best thing that you can do for your relationships with others is to focus on your relationship with Christ. If you want the relationships with others in your life to be stronger and to be healthy, the single most important thing that you can do is to get things right with God and grow that relationship with Christ. That has an impact then on your horizontal relationships as well. And so I just want to ask, like, in your relationship with Christ, which of these areas do you need to take a next step in? Maybe you need to make a decision to say, you know, I want to be intentional about learning more about who Jesus is. And maybe you start reading your Bible. Maybe you find somebody to ask questions, somebody trustworthy, and say, hey, I don't understand this about Jesus. This doesn't make sense when I read this in the Bible. What do you think? And you just begin to learn and discover who Jesus is. Maybe that's a step that you need to begin to take. Maybe for you, it's the step of trust. Maybe for the very first time to say, okay, I think it's time for me to place my faith and my trust in Jesus and change the direction of my life. I'm going to start following him. Maybe that's a step that you need to take today. Maybe it's steps of faith. Step out of your comfort zone, that God's been tugging your heart to do something, to talk to somebody, to serve in a ministry or some way, and you've kind of been holding back because you're a little scared to, and you're like, no, I need to learn to rely on God. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and let God use me. Maybe it's other steps of commitment. Maybe for you, it's a step of that you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? And you need to be intentional about the way that you love others to reflect God in your life. All of us have a next step to take. And so my question is for you today, wherever you are in your faith journey, which one of these steps is for you? So if you would, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn our attention, we turn our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you in this moment. And we ask you to speak. Bring to our minds kind of the next step that we may have with you. How do you want to draw us closer to you, Lord? God, I want to pray for those that don't know you, that don't have a relationship with you yet. I pray you draw them to you. Open their eyes, open their hearts to who you are. Give them a hunger and a thirst to pursue the information, the knowledge about you, and help them discover the beauty of your love and your grace. God, I want to pray for the people that are maybe wrestling through a decision of making the decision for the first time to place their faith and their trust in you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to strengthen them as they take that step. Put people around them to help them in that journey. God, for those that sense a desire to take a step out of their comfort zone, to follow you, to serve you, to share you with somebody, God, give us the strength, the ability that we need to be able to take that step. And God, as we see you show up and you remind us on a new, deeper level that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, God, we'll celebrate you in that. God, strengthen our commitments to you. And God, help give us eyes to see people that we can be your hands and your feet, people that need a touch from you as we choose to love well and love intentionally and reflect your love and your grace and your mercy to the world around us. Jesus, we need you to do that. So show up. Help us take our next step with you. And God, we ask you to begin to transform us so that our relationships will be transformed as well. And may it all be for the glory and the honor of your name, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.